Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about Elon Musk and Zachary Kirkhorn's new titles, Jerome Guillen's new role, a lot of news on FSD over the weekend, NFTs as well. I guess we'll keep rolling with the acronyms. We have some news out of China, some news on batteries from Panasonic, and then Volkswagen's Power Day, which we'll be unpacking a little bit throughout the course of this week. Tesla stock with a solid start to the week, finishing up 2% to $707.94. That compared to the Nasdaq up 1%, and Tesla has now moved again to positive year-to-date. Tesla closed last year at $705.67. All right, we'll quickly start off here with the strangest news of the day, some new titles for Elon Musk and Zach Kirkhorn. Elon Musk has changed his title per an SEC filing by Tesla this morning to Techno King of Tesla. Zach Kirkhorn, CFO, is now the Master of Coin. File these under the category of things I never thought I would be talking about on Tesla Daily, but this is an official title, again, per the SEC filing, though Elon and Zach will retain their respective positions as Chief Executive Officer and Chief Financial Officer, and Zach Kirkhorn in this filing did actually sign it as Chief Financial Officer rather than Master of Coin. So I think this is just the latest chapter of Elon Musk having some fun with the SEC. This probably stems from another 8K that Tesla had filed on Friday, announcing that Jerome Guillen, formerly President of Automotive at Tesla, has transitioned into the role of President of Tesla Heavy Trucking. I could easily see this materializing from them having a conversation about having to file that with the SEC, and just saying, oh, well, if we've got to do that, let's have some fun with it. So Elon has now updated his Twitter description to read Techno King of Tesla. It's updated on Tesla's IR corporate governance website, as is Zach Kirkhorn's and Jerome Guillen's. You may remember this is not the first time that Elon Musk has tried something a little bit unique with his titles. Back in October of 2018, he tweeted, quote, "Deleted my Tesla titles last week to see what would happen. I'm now the nothing of Tesla. Seems fine so far," end quote. That one didn't end up sticking because corporations are legally required to have a president, a treasurer, and a secretary, but obviously with Elon and Zach retaining their titles, there shouldn't be any issues here. As for Jerome, he had previously been in charge of the Tesla Semi program, so not too surprising to see him now shift over to President Heavy Trucking, especially as Tesla prepares for deliveries this year. We've been seeing more and more action. Last week we saw some drone footage of Tesla shooting promotional footage of the Semi on their test track. And we likely saw the first glimpses of that footage yesterday with a Tesla tweet showing that white Semi on the track for about 15 seconds. The obvious question is then, okay, who takes that president of automotive role? But that question supposes that there is a position there that needs to be filled, and Tesla has historically not really operated that way. J.B. Straubel's a good example of that, former chief technology officer. When he left, there was a question about who would step up into that role. For all intents and purposes, it seems like that has been Drew Baglino, but he is still listed as the vice president of powertrain and energy engineering. My guess is that this ends up being pretty similar and that president of automotive role just gets absorbed by both Elon and Drew. All right, next up here, let's talk about the FSD beta. Tesla did end up expanding the FSD beta group over the weekend, but only to about 1,000 additional owners. So this does match what Elon had initially said, where they said they'd double to about 2,000 and then 10x from there, maybe to either 10 or 20,000. That latter stage is what now seems to have been replaced by the plan to add a download FSD beta button, but no such button yet. However, Elon on Friday said, quote, "FSD beta has now expanded to about 2,000 owners, and we've also revoked beta where drivers did not pay sufficient attention to the road. No accidents to date. Next significant release will be in April, going with pure vision, not even using radar. This is the way to real-world AI," end quote. So, per that tweet, it is now sounding like April for that download FSD beta button. Certainly a little bit disappointing for those waiting for it, but probably not all that surprising. What is interesting here, though, is that, as we talked about last time, there was a little bit of incentive for Tesla to get that done in Q1 to be able to recognize more deferred FSD revenue. So kind of good news, bad news there. Bad news being that that doesn't seem to add too much incentive for Tesla to get that out quickly. Good news meaning that it's probably not the difference between being profitable or not for Q1. The other element of Elon's tweet there that I found intriguing was his specific mention of not even using radar. We've known for a long time that vision is overwhelmingly the path to autonomy that Tesla is taking, but they have referred to some superhuman capability from radar in the past, like bouncing radar under a lead car to see something that maybe is obstructed for vision. So I thought that was interesting. Reflecting on it though, and after some comments from that Twitter thread, I'm guessing Elon here probably means not using radar just for the city streets feature, but then still possibly using radar for the highway or for just the active safety feature set, which maybe he's considering here to not fall under the FSD beta. We've also had relatively recent rumors that Tesla has been looking at upgrading the radar hardware, which would run counter to that train of thought as well. But in a future state, what's interesting to consider is that if Tesla gets confident enough someday in just vision alone, maybe they can eventually eliminate the radar. That would allow cost savings from a hardware perspective on the vehicle and less power consumption, so a cheaper cost per mile as well as more range. Anyway, the last thing on FSD that I want to point out today is a video that Holmar shot over the weekend of the FSD beta traveling down a very busy Chestnut Street in San Francisco with no interventions. This is one of the most impressive videos of the beta that I've seen so far. This is on 8.2, and I think it just gives a great glimpse into the robotaxi future. This is exactly the type of situation that a robotaxi is going to find itself in all the time. So I'll put a link to that down in the show notes. Definitely one I would recommend watching. All right, next up, I want to talk a little bit about NFTs. Elon Musk has kind of brought this into our realm today. If you haven't been following NFTs, they've been kind of all the rage over the last month or so. If you haven't been following it, real quick explanation, NFT is a non-fungible token. Fungibility just has to do with the interchangeability of an asset. Something that's fungible is interchangeable, so something like a dollar bill, whereas something non-fungible is not, so think of something more like art. So an NFT takes the ownership concept of something that is non-fungible and applies it to the blockchain, which is just a public ledger of the transactions for that NFT. In the digital world, this helps verify ownership of digital assets that can oftentimes be replicated rather easily. This is the underlying concept that enabled a $69 million sale of a JPEG file made by an artist known as Beeple last week. This, alongside other high-value NFT transactions, has really thrust NFTs into the spotlight. So anyway, with that as background knowledge, Elon today tweeted, quote, "I'm selling this song about NFTs as an NFT." The song is very fitting of the techno king of Tesla, I would say. Maybe some people will correct me on that. People like those genres, to be very precise. Anyway, the song also features a video of an animated trophy for NFTs spinning around. It has a couple of meme mentions in there. It's got Diamond Hands, it's got HODL, it's got some Shiba Inus representing Doge. And while I don't know if Elon actually intends to sell this as an NFT, that artist that we talked about before, Beeple, he said, quote, "I'll give you $69 million for it," end quote. Of course, Elon made a counter offer, a lower offer, 420 million Doge, 420 there, about $24 million. And I guess that's where we'll leave that story for now. In other Elon Musk news, Ray for Tesla on Twitter has shared that Elon Musk will be attending the China Development Forum, as will the chairman for BMW, Daimler, Apple's Tim Cook will be there. And this would run March 20th through March 22nd. I don't know for sure when Elon would be speaking. So you never know, maybe we'll get some new information on Giga Shanghai or something else Tesla related. The theme of the forum is China on a new journey to modernization. Speaking of modernization, we may be a little bit closer to seeing some of that in regards to Texas law. There's been a new bill introduced in Texas that proposes to allow electric vehicle manufacturers to sell directly to customers. Obviously, the car dealership lobbying in Texas is pretty strong. It has prohibited anything like this in the past. But with Tesla's huge investment in the state, Elon Musk now living there, also investing in the state through SpaceX, it seems like it is more than time for this change to be made. I mean, Elon Musk can't buy his own car in his own state. That's pretty crazy. So this is just a proposal at this point. We'll have to keep an eye on it. It is House Bill 4379, and this was originally reported by the Austin Statesman, and thanks to Drive Tesla Canada for pointing it out. All right, for the last couple of topics here, we'll shift into batteries, starting off with Tesla and Panasonic. This was a big Financial Times headline from over the weekend, also picked up by Reuters. Reuters says, outgoing CEO says Panasonic must cut Tesla reliance as battery tie-up evolves. Panasonic CEO is stepping down on April 1st, but he told the Financial Times, quote, "At some point, we need to graduate from our one-legged approach of relying solely on Tesla. We are entering a different phase, and we need to keep an eye on supplying manufacturers other than Tesla," end quote. This was pretty good timing because I received a question over this weekend about where Tesla's competitors are going to end up getting their batteries. Well, there's incentive for companies like Panasonic, LG, CATL to work with these other companies so that they're not overly reliant just on Tesla alone. Working with these other companies is going to allow them to get higher margins, perhaps unlock additional investment from other partnerships, and give them a little bit of extra leverage when negotiating with Tesla. And then obviously on the reliance piece, you probably don't want your biggest customer to be developing into the business that you run. That's probably not going to end all that well. So I would agree with Panasonic CEO here, but that also doesn't mean that they can't work with Tesla in a significant capacity still. All right, lastly then, let's talk about Volkswagen's Power Day. So Volkswagen went through their battery roadmap today through 2030. The 5-second summary of this is essentially a diet version of Tesla's battery day. As I said at the top of the episode, we will be unpacking this over the course of the week. I do plan to bring in Jordan from the Limiting Factor channel to have a discussion about this, so stay tuned for that. But what's clear here is that Volkswagen is just unabashedly following in Tesla's footsteps, seemingly as quickly as they can, which I think is an excellent strategy. Group CEO Herbert Diess opened Power Day by saying, quote, "Let me begin with the obvious, e-mobility has won the race," end quote. It's clear at this point that VW is going as close to all in as they can on EVs. I'd stop short of saying 100%, they're not there yet. Even here in Battery Day, they said, sorry, even here in Power Day, they said that by 2030, they expect 60% of their sales to be battery electric vehicles. So that's similar to what we'd calculated a week or two ago. No change there. What they basically outlined in this presentation was their plan for what they're calling a unified cell, which Volkswagen believes can meet 80% of their battery-related needs, and then for the other 20%, they'll just have special use case batteries fulfill those needs. So they plan to start this rollout of what they're calling their unified cell in 2023, gradually grow that to 80% of their battery electric vehicle use. And beyond that point, it might be even easier to discuss the things that are different from Tesla. For similarities, Volkswagen talked about utilizing dry battery electrode processing. They talked about working their way from battery module to battery pack to structural pack. They talked about utilizing different chemistries, so lithium iron phosphate in their low-end vehicles, nickel manganese cobalt in their higher-end vehicles. And that's all within that unified cell concept, again with that 20% exception. And then they talked about how that'll lower the cost anywhere from 30 to 50% depending on the chemistry. They differed from Tesla in a few areas. Probably the most noticeable would be their mention of solid-state batteries. Volkswagen does view this as the future solution. Obviously, they have a partnership with QuantumScape, significant investment in QuantumScape, developing solid-state batteries. We've done a full episode on that, so check that one out. But Volkswagen believes that will allow them to lower costs, increase range, improve charging times. So they spent a fair amount of time discussing that. Obviously, Tesla hasn't really talked much about solid-state. The other key difference here was probably the level of vertical integration. I think Tesla was a little bit more detailed here. Volkswagen talked about it, but they approached it more with the terminology of finding the right balance between buying, partnership, and making. It looks like everything up until the actual battery they'll be buying, and then on the battery section of their flowchart, they list all of make, partner, and buy, which if you think about it, not really different than Tesla's strategy. But it wasn't exactly clear how that split would break out. There was no firm target of, hey, in 2030, we're going to manufacture X amount of gigawatt hours or terawatt hours internally. What they did say in terms of production targets was that by 2030, they do expect to have 6 40 gigawatt hour plants in Europe for Volkswagen, whether that is through partnership or internal. Obviously, that would be 240 gigawatt hours. If I didn't miss something else in the presentation, that would represent enough batteries for 3.2 million electric vehicles, assuming a 75 kilowatt hour average. That would maybe represent about half of VW's need, depending on the average pack size. So maybe they're thinking 50% internal or partnership, 50% buy. So the scale of targets is probably the starkest contrast. Obviously, Tesla targeting 2 terawatt hours just internal by 2030, and Volkswagen here targeting 240 gigawatt hours by 2030 across both internal and partnerships. So those were my initial takeaways. That's not exhaustive. They talked about charging, they talked about vehicle to grid, a few other things as well, but largely this was affirmation by Volkswagen that Tesla's plan at Battery Day was correct, and that Volkswagen is doing what they can to be a fast follower. I think that solidifies Volkswagen's position in the future to some extent. Certainly there's plenty of market share for them available, but I like Tesla as the innovator. Let me know your thoughts in the comments, but that will wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, March 16th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.